Well, it's time to board the RV. That is the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno. Welcome to this week's edition of Heartline, where your host is this guy right here, Jim Tuck.
All right. It's such a delight to come back to the microphone for another edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno. Jerry Brenneman is here. She's caught a little cold. I got a little allergy, so we both sound a little hollow. But we have a couple of guests with us this morning, Jerry, and we want to find out a little bit about each of them, and then on to a principle for living. Some of the things that especially the folks here at Evangel have to deal with regularly when women come here. Are they telling the truth? And there's a fascinating story. You blogged it, and we read that through last night, and some things we want to talk about. So why don't you introduce Jessica and Michaela? Wait, I just did. and then we'll find out a little bit about them.
Jessica and Michaela are both living in the garden. There's seven of you guys there now?
Yes.
Okay. We only take six in the garden, you know, but we have seven. Because we have bunk beds, so once in a while we can do that. And I think it's a group that gets along well enough that we can do that. So I'm very, very, very thankful to both of you for allowing that to happen. Jessica is the senior member of these two. She's been here longer. And I think every day, in a way, Jessica is very surprised at her progress. She looks more and more beautiful every day. But this is the first time, and I've heard her tell the story in her life, really, of any extended time she's been sober or without drugs. And watching her go through that has just been very encouraging for me. Michaela, on the other hand, has not been into that lifestyle for her whole life, I don't think. Is younger, didn't have quite as many years behind her before she sought help. I'm very thankful for that, because give her a few more years and who knows where she would be. Almost everybody in the garden, Jim, I'm always amazed. And, you know, we have four on staff who are garden graduates. We have them from all over, but four at one time from the garden. That tells you something about the caliber of person that we get in the garden. Over and over and over, I see very bright, very motivated women who went the wrong way. And when they get going the right way again, whew, they are just on fire in all directions. But there's something unique, I think, maybe, about the whole prison population of women. How many of them are really very bright? That's a whole other study, but I see it here all the time. The garden people, for the most part, are very bright women.
Yeah, I wonder if that addictive personality isn't somewhat compulsive and driven. Mm-hmm. I think maybe there's something to that, and I'm no therapist. But anyway, we've got limited time and long ways to go. So, Jessica, were you sentenced to the garden?
Yes, I was.
What was going on in your life? You were obviously dealing with substance abuse.
Yes, I was addicted to crack cocaine. I started at the age of 14, and I'm just now going to be 40. And so I've pretty much been an addict all my life, miserable, depressed, prostituting out there. And I came here. A friend of mine referred me to here, and this is the longest I've been clean in my entire life, 5 months.
Wow.
And I, like Jerry said, I amaze myself every day because just the things that I'm learning. I don't think as far as I've came in those 5 months, I can't even see myself turning back. You know, I love waking up. The most part of my recovery that I like the most is waking up sober every morning.
Wow.
This place has given me hope. I've never in my life had hope. I've had my first two sober holidays here. And they mean the world to me. You know, I got to know the true meaning of Christmas, you know, behind Christmas. And I love it. I love it here, you know.
Well, I look at Jessica, and I see her around from time to time. And she looks humbled, but relaxed. Would you agree?
I agree. She's very in touch with her emotions. That sounds kind of cliche-ish. But Jessica cries a lot also. And has worked through a lot of things and has not run. And that's what really gives me hope for her also, that she looks so buoyant. She looks so sparkly today. Mm-hmm. But there's that flip side that she lets out. She doesn't try to hide it. And I'm very proud of her because She's just not playing games. And our women, when they get out of here, it's a struggle, Jim, as you know it. They don't all make it. But she is being so honest while she's here. You know, she's not hiding too much that I can find.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, lives are at stake. And when somebody realizes that and commits to change, it can be done. Now, Michaela, as Jerry said, your history is not quite as long as Jessica's. Tell us about your background and how you came to be here.
Well, I was in a very abusive relationship for about 7 years. My relationship ended, and I kind of turned to drugs. I started using crystal meth and heroin, and just within less than a year, my life really went downhill. I became homeless and tried rehab once at Teen Challenge, and it didn't work. And with all the prayers of my family, I ended up here, and I'm very thankful for that.
So your family's pretty supportive of you here?
Oh, yes, very supportive.
How long have you been here?
A little over 2 months.
Were you in the prison system or jail sentence or system? You just sought help here?
I did, yeah.
Kind of. She came once and checked things out, if I remember, and didn't like it. I don't know. We didn't have mints on the pillow or whatever the problem was, but she didn't stay. And she left, and I don't know why we took you back. I don't
Prayers.
Know. We let you
Prayers.
We want to move on to Jerry, and we're going to be crunched for time. So I'll get out of the way. You had something, a story on your blog about a woman who came to you at the parking lot at First Press. Uh-huh. Is that where that took place? Tell that story.
It was after the second service, and the parking lot was pretty empty. It was just my niece and I and a couple other cars that were there. When this woman came across the parking lot, and you know the look, kind of avoid eye contact, but I didn't. I looked at her, and so she came up to me and said, I need to talk to you. I don't want to ask for money, but, well, you know how the rest of the story goes. Well, what happened was she didn't know I worked at Evangel Home, and I told her that we would give her some food. She said she needed food for her husband and her two kids. And I said, well, then let's call Evangel Home. And she said, no, I already did. And they said they only give canned food, and I don't have a can opener. Well, we don't say that, you know. It's like, sorry if you don't have a can
opener. We do have a can opener.
We do have a can opener. So I knew she was not telling the truth. And I said, you know what? I work there. So if you're willing to get in my car and go with me, we'll get you some food. Well, I think it's very, very – I never give anyone money, and I don't offer help to everyone. But that was one of those nudging by God moments. And I said, if you're willing to go back with me, I'll drive you there and take you back to your motel. So I made her put her backpack in my back seat. I'm not stupid enough to think that she would be totally innocent. And we came here to get her some food. And Jessica and Michaela were the ones that were here that day. They were hanging around because we had a garden misscheduling. And they helped. And they packed up food and boxed up food, and I kind of told him a little bit about the story and that this woman had indeed been at Evangel Home several years ago and didn't like us. She said that we were rude to her and there was something else going on. But these two knew that then. And I kept thinking, what message does that send to you two, knowing that you are working, packing up food for someone who is lying to you at the moment and has been here and didn't do well? So I just thought, I didn't have that part on my blog, but I know that had to have an impact.
So, Jessica, what were your thoughts?
I don't think it kind of made me feel, I don't know, because being here, you know, learning about honesty and learning about truth, I would have felt convicted because there's nothing I can do that would make me, you know, if I do try to do things that aren't right of God, I feel so convicted, so I don't think that I just can't see myself going through something like that or lying to people, you know? I don't know.
Well, if you were on the receiving end of that, how do you think you would have felt?
Guilty. Yeah. So guilty, yeah.
Now, Jerry, you went with the woman to her hotel room, met her husband, and there were no kids, and so she was obviously caught in multiple untruths. Well, let's go back to Michaela. What thoughts went through your head, Michaela?
You know, with me, it was more, I was grateful to the Lord that he brought me here because I've been where she's at. I've taken advantage of people numerous times in my addiction. I've justified things for a man, you know, like she was doing. And I actually kind of empathized with her a little bit because I saw myself in her a little bit in my past, yeah.
What would you have felt like, or what maybe you did feel, that maybe you have felt that before? Somebody, you know, lying to people and then they treat you like they like you're valuable.
Right. It with me, when I would kind of manipulate people for money or, you know, whatever it would be, I would feel a spirit of conviction afterwards. And I could tell that she did. She knew she was not being honest. And
her lies kept getting worse.
Right.
Less convicting.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I was when I was surprised, though, Jim, when we went back to their motel room and they allowed me to go in. She obviously forgot she had lied about even having the kids because it was very obvious there were no kids around. And you're right, you know, she was out hustling for him, and we pretty much knew that. So my whole thought was we were able to help her out, and maybe in that little bit of help she will be able to turn around. Maybe she was convicted enough, saw something here again that she liked.
I thought your answers to obvious untruths from her were really interesting. Not everybody can discern untruths as well as you did in this situation, Jerry. Is that just from years of practice?
Yeah, it's mostly from, I think, practice. And I really believe truly homeless people are not in the parking lot asking for money. They are not on the street corner with a sign. They're trying to find a place. They really will have their kids that they're trying. When my first realization that she was not telling the truth, I always ask questions. And she said she and her husband and her two children had just come from Oakland a week ago. Well, duh, what are you doing coming from Oakland and you don't have money for food after you've been? So I knew immediately something was going on. And then I think also part of it, Jim, that I was there with my niece and she was buckling the two little kids into the car. And I think there was kind of a protective part of me that came out, too, because I remember saying, Kendra, I got this one. Because Kendra was standing there trying to figure out, well, do I give this woman money, or what do I do if I turn my back to buckle the kids in, which she didn't know. And that motivated part of it. So for me, it was not all a wonderful altruistic spiritual thing. It was protection. It's protection like that woman, Rayanne, really truly would have for her children if she were mothering him the way she wants to.
We're out of time. Fascinating. Jessica, Michaela, thanks for coming in. Nice to meet you both. God bless you. And folks, pray for these women. They're headed down the right path, but it will continue to be a lifelong struggle day to day, and they'll have to make good decisions every day of the rest of their lives, and they need your support. As I say, we're out of time. Thanks, Ken, for your job making this this interview a program. Friends, join us next week, Lord willing, right back here for Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno reached them by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714. Round the clock online, evangelhome.org. Thank you for tuning in this week's edition of the Radio Voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, Heartline. Talk to you next weekend.